WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We're learning about a possible twin shooting plot after this week's deadly incident at a Christian school in Madison, Wisconsin. Police believe a 15-year-old who killed a classmate and a substitute teacher may have been in contact with a man in California. KFMB-TV's David Gottfriedson.
The gun violence restraining order served in Carlsbad is a civil action, not a criminal action. But it does allow officers to seize weapons, something the neighbor says he witnessed.
Two cops carrying out a big black, what I thought was a gun box.
An attorney for Luigi Mangione tells CBS News he'll agree to go to New York today to face murder charges in the death of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. CBS's Anna Schechter.
Things move really quickly as soon as that extradition waiver is filed. And as soon as that wraps, he can be transferred directly to New York.
The hearing is this morning in Pennsylvania. It's back to the drawing board for lawmakers on Capitol Hill, facing a weekend deadline to pass a government spending bill.
There appeared to be a spending plan in place until President-elect Donald Trump blasted it, saying it gave Democrats like House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries everything they wanted.
An agreement is an agreement. It was bipartisan. And there was nothing more to say.
Trump is demanding any new spending bill raise the debt ceiling. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise isn't sure what's next.
There is no new agreement right now. I'm looking at a number of options.
Michael Wallace, CBS News.
Elon Musk also fought to scotch the deal. The Teamsters Union says thousands of Amazon workers will walk off their jobs this morning at the height of the holiday shopping and delivery season. Aiden Hewitt works in robotics in California. He says management has refused to bargain.
There's a lot of tension in there. Managers know who's like part of the union and kind of single us out. They kind of give you side eyes.
Strikes expected in New York City, Skokie, Illinois, San Francisco, and other SoCal locations. Russia's President Vladimir Putin says he'll ask ousted Syrian leader Bashar al-Assad about the fate of Austin Tice, the American who went missing in Syria 12 years ago. Biden administration says finding him's a top priority. Assad's in Moscow now. CIA Director William Burns is in Qatar for the latest rounds of talks on a Gaza ceasefire. Human Rights Watch is calling out the lack of clean water, the group's Lamba Faki.
Human Rights Watch finds that these Israeli policies have amounted to the crime against humanity of extermination and acts of genocide.
S&P futures are up 23. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The Pack is back in Green Bay. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After an extra day off, the Packers are back at work, getting ready to host the Saints on Monday Night Football. Linebacker Quay Walker expected to be out a while with an ankle injury. Rookie linebacker Edrin Cooper named NFC Defensive Player of the Week after his performance Sunday night in Seattle. Matt LaFleur.
You know, he's a really talented guy. He did a great job. And I mean, on that screen play where they hit Jackson Smith Jigba out the backfield, that was just an elite play by somebody that has elite athleticism.
NBA, the Bucks in Cleveland tomorrow night against the Cavaliers. College basketball, Marquette with a win in their first Big East game of the season, beating Butler 80-70. Marquette now 10-2, ranked 9th in the nation. Head coach Shaka Smart.
You know, Butler's a dangerous team that's had some good wins on this season. Obviously beat us last year here, and I thought the way our guys handled adversity was way better this time around, and that's what allowed us to win.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fans of Peaky Blinders, who are anxiously awaiting the feature film, will be happy to know that principal photography is done. The film is called The Immortal Man, and Cillian Murphy is back in the lead role as Tommy Shelby. Peaky Blinders is the story of post-World War I gangsters in Birmingham. The show ran for 6 seasons between 2013 and 2022 on the BBC and Netflix. Fans of the 28 Days franchise will be happy to know that 28 Days Later will finally be available to stream. The film has been curiously absent from streaming platforms, which is not good for people who want to catch up before the release of 28 Years Later. The second installment, 28 Weeks Later, is available to stream, but Danny Boyle's first film of the franchise has been offline since early 2024 after being purchased by Sony. The film is now available to stream as of December 18th. 28 Years Later is set to hit theaters in June of 2025. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have a winter storm warning today for big snow. We could end up with 5 to 9 inches of accumulation by the time it winds down late tonight. And the wind is going to be an issue too, gusting to 25 to 30 through the day and into the night. That'll create some blowing snow. High today, 25. Tomorrow, conditions improve, sunshine, 23. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look at the day's headlines, and we're getting down there. Your final chance to win Growing Up Gift List, Text to Win Contest, and fabulous prizes. We'll tell you how to do it.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on Air.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Thursday morning, December 19th, 2024. And it's another beautiful day to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're listening across the Civic Media Radio Network. I say it's beautiful now. It'll be a different type of beautiful later. If you're looking out the window, it'll have that beautiful snow globe look to it. If you're on the roads, it will not look so beautiful. So please, if you're on the roads now or soon, or frankly any point today with this winter storm moving into the state, please use every little bit of caution and patience. You don't have to speed to get to where you're going. The snow right now stretches. Let me use the meteorological term here, a big old blob of snow that's moving in from central, eastern, and southern Minnesota. In Wisconsin, it's gotten about as far as Hayward and Wausau, down to Baraboo, down to New Glarus. Again, that's just based on looking at a radar. Some of it might not be actually, you know, on the ground yet, but trust me, it's coming. A very wide swath of the area could be getting anywhere from 3 to 5 to 4 to 7 inches of snow in that heaviest of bands. It's going to make driving a character builder. So again, please take it easy out there as we get the thing that conceivably could give us a white Christmas. But I also recall seeing something about a temperature that's maybe pushing, let's see, for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, we're looking at upper 30s, near 40s for the rest of the week next week. So we may only get this potential white Christmas weather up until Christmas Eve morning. And then after that, Santa's going to have to rely on something else as far as landing on the rooftop. But again, please be careful. Brittany Merlot will be here very soon with an update on our forecast just under an hour from now. I got a question for you as we get the show started on this Thursday morning. Have you yet heard me engage in a segment where I am potentially in full agreement with some Republican legislators and actually in disagreement with Governor Tony Evers? I mean, law of averages says it was going to happen sometime, and it's appears to be happening here. I'm still trying to learn more information about what exactly is happening with the State Building Commission, but it sure sounds like there's a project in Madison that's running over budget, a project that I and many other people support, but because it's running over budget, they're eyeing other pools of money, including one for a long overdue science building at UW-Eau Claire. And to which I say, oh, no. But we'll talk more about that in the coming minutes as well. Also on the program, Joe Zepecki will be here. We'll talk about the shooting in Madison and more headlines of this week. In our second hour, we will be talking to the new leader of a group that works with potential first-time progressive candidates to offer up the resources and the training they'll need to run in 2025, 2026, and beyond. So get set for that. Would like to say it's Thursday and Luke Mathers will be here, but I believe Mr. Mathers has an appointment and said something along the lines of, I would rather put up with getting my teeth drilled than appear with Pat and Greg. I believe those were his words. I could be misconstruing them, but that is not actually Mr. Mathers. I told him he was welcome, Greg, to broadcast live from the dentist chair. We'd love to hear that drill, but he seems to think the folks at the dentist office wouldn't go along with that, so we don't get that adventure today, I'm sorry to say.
When it comes to good oral hygiene and dental health, I say, drill, baby, drill.
The handsome and capable Luke Mathers with that very pearly, white, gleaming grin.
Exactly.
Join us another time. Before the snow comes, temperatures look like this. It's 20 in Chippewa Falls, 13 in Hayward, 19 in Amory. Wausau's at 16, La Crosse 24, Wisconsin Rapids 19, Green Bay 20. Madison's at 22 right now. Waukesha, you're at 19 degrees, and Greg's down at Radio Park in Racine, where it is 25 degrees. And, of course, when we're looking at the comments that have come in already, thank you, Tony, for noting. He says, I'm so glad you use the technical and accurate terms, like big old blob of snow. It's why I know I trust Up North News. Alicia, on a more serious note, says, good morning from Marinette. The speed of work begins to attempt to beat the storm. So, yeah, it's just one of those days. What's this? Tony's making trouble on Facebook here. Don't quote me, but I've heard Luke has a deep aversion to flannel.
What?
Perhaps that's why he isn't here right now talking to Pat. I don't believe that.
You're not wearing flannel right now, though. You're just wearing a tartan pattern shirt.
A dress shirt. I actually still own some of these.
Whoa.
None in a solid color. It's not all flannel shirts.
I don't own any flannel. Oh, I do, but I don't wear it right now. So.
It's okay. Like I've said before, I had to wear a suit and tie for all those years. And look, I liked them. I think I looked all right in them. But after years and years and years of just a solid color shirt and a tie and a suit, it's nice to just kind of put some other stuff on now, and you have one of the finest collections of t-shirts that I should be so lucky to have.
Some of them? I'll send them to you.
No, I don't want yours. No, I'm just saying you have a lovely variety in your work wardrobe.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's about time to move on and get a new look. I'm 40.
That's it.
I'm 47. I'm not 12.
Yeah, 2025 is going to be the year that Pat and Greg get makeovers. That'll be fun.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, well, let me turn to some of what's happening in the news here, because, again, it's weird for me to see this story come in late yesterday that initially said that the State Building Commission had turned down the transfer of money to help with the UW-Madison engineering building. So let me back up a minute. The State Building Commission is made up of six legislators, four Republicans, two Democrats, and then one citizen member and the governor. And they review all of the big building projects that the state engages in to make sure, that there's proper design, get the contractor, have it built right and under budget. It's a committee that I sat on for about a year during my time in the legislature. It's a group that takes its responsibilities very seriously. Well, it did back when I was there and Democrats were controlling the legislature. But by and large, it still engages in that work. And there has long been the need at the UW-Madison campus for a new engineering building, one that would attract students. It would be a true job engine for Wisconsin, as it competes with other Big Ten schools for their best and brightest engineering students. The programs are growing. They're attracting great students, or they're attracting them out of Wisconsin to go to other campuses. So this was a worthy project. The business community wants it. Many Republicans wanted it, but then Republicans decided to play games with it and delayed the state's share of funding, even though a massive amount of the building's cost has been raised through the private sector and through philanthropic giving. And then there was the state share, where Republicans sat on it for months because they wanted to blackmail the UW system into dropping anything related in the system to diversity, equity, inclusion, you know, an honest, accurate teaching of racial history in America, all of this kind of culture war, you know, BS micromanaging of the UW system, simply to play politics with it. And it worked. The UW did eventually cave and restructure its DEI offices, and the Republicans stopped blocking the money. So the engineering building is now underway. But now it's apparently running over budget, or maybe running over budget. And so on the building commission, the work had begun to identify what to do about that. Do you curtail parts of the project? Do you limit it? Or do you see if there's money elsewhere that can go into this new engineering building in Madison? Well, now let's move up to my neck of the woods here, to UW-Eau Claire, where you had the L.E. Phillips science building that dates back to the early days of the space age. Okay, it has a very Jetsons-like look to it and a very Jetsons-like infrastructure, in that it's from the 1950s or 60s, early 70s, and it was starting to fall apart. That building is decades overdue for a replacement. And for a host of reasons behind the scenes, with jockeying with other projects, the funding was finally approved to start that building. That building is also underway. I believe they've got the first two floors of it done. And it's still in the progress of it's in the process of being built. But it's forecast at the moment to come in under budget. Does UW-Eau Claire get to reap the benefits of that by coming in under budget? Could conceivably those funds be used, you know, elsewhere, either for the science building or for other worthy projects there? Or does it just get returned to the state? Does it go into general coffers? Whatever the regular process is, the building commission was asked to consider yesterday to take about $70 million, the amount that the project at Eau Claire is supposedly under budget, and, you know, skim that away and help with the engineering building in Madison that's forecast to be over budget. But let me come back to an important detail here. The building is still under construction in Eau Claire. I've been on the building commission, and I've worked for contractors before. If you're not familiar with change orders, those are the things where, in the middle of a project that you think is going well, imagine any HGTV show that you watch where the contractor comes in and says, yeah, there's a little problem here with, you know, asbestos, or we found a skeleton in the dirt, or, you know, whatever. And it leads to what's called a change order. And change orders pile up real fast. So I certainly, for one, don't understand why you would take money away from a project that you're still in the middle of building. Now, if you can find a way to move some pots around to make sure that Eau Claire doesn't lose out on its funding while still helping Madison, well, then, hey, that's fine. But I know that in this particular case, when the building commission said no yesterday to this, this commission made up of majority Republicans, I was perfectly good with that. Let's cool our jets and let's look for other ways that we can make sure both projects are a success. Would have been great if Republicans didn't delay the engineering building and play politics, especially with Trump tariffs coming. But we are where we are right now, and hopefully we can resolve it so that both projects work out well. We'll have more after this on Up North News Radio on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Cindy from Appleton.
Time Magazine has made the convicted felon the man of the year this year. Shame on them.
Time Magazine base their person of the year on impact and like newsmaking. The CEO assassination is pretty much the only news cycle that isn't entirely focused on Donald Trump, and yet it still relates to him because he has no health care policy.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Or it will really soon.
Everywhere you go.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere. Every single road.
People driving like idiots with all-wheel drive.
The thing that sticks out to me about this song is when he says, you know, take a look at the 5 and 10.
Yeah.
You know, the old 5 and dime stores. And now we have dollar stores.
Oh, yeah.
You realize it won't be that much longer until we're calling them 5 and 10 stores again. Because everything will be $5 or $10.
That's cheap, know. Pat. That's good price.
Right? I have some good news. I can't stop the snow here, but I can tell you that after Saturday, the days are going to start getting longer. And in fact, I can tell you that the sunrises are already starting to get a little bit earlier. The sunsets, our latest sunset, our earliest sunset, actually happens the day before daylight savings time, back in November. When it was at, you know, like 4:24.
Yeah.
And now it's 4:27. But
ooh, baby.
I know. You know, sunrise will happen at 7:43 at the end of the month here, but then after January 7th it'll start coming up later and later. Or earlier and earlier, I should say. The sunset will be later and later. This is all to say there's hope. The solstice is day after tomorrow, coming up right around the corner here. And also, hey, thanks to Phil on Facebook for saying, thank you for telling people about the common sense of construction projects. I love when a plan comes together. Everybody in construction does. It's just that you can't assume it. And we've all had that. We've all been involved in a project.
If you've ever seen the movie The Money Pit, watch the movie The Money Pit.
Yeah. A very early Tom Hanks, Shelley Long movie.
Yes.
God, we're going way back. We're doing early 80s kids. Yep. I'm sure it still works.
Every contractor says the same thing. Oh, 2 weeks. Right. It'll take 2 weeks.
Yep. You can reach us here at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Again, have that Civic Media app handy, not just to text or call us anytime, but to be part of the grown-up gift list text-to-win contest coming up just after 7 o'clock. In the newsletter today that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com, there's a story about beer club memberships that you could be a part of. And you mentioned that you are no stranger to beer club memberships.
No, I've been a part. I got to actually renew it. There's a place called Rustic Road in Kenosha here and has a really nice beer selection. I want to be a part of that. And it was like, I was gifted and it wasn't a beer club per se. It was just like a, hey, here's a gift card. You can order from all these different breweries all over the country. And I have yet to do it.
You're just full of potential there. You're exactly. waiting for the right moment.
Thank you. Know, you.
It doesn't come right to your door. It's not like Jelly of the Month Club, which, Clark, that's a gift that keeps giving the whole year through. So learn about the potential for beer club memberships in the newsletter. Also, 7 books by Wisconsin authors that might make good gifts for yourself or for others. Again, that's in the daily newsletter. Sign up at upnorthnewswi.com. One note from the Courier Newsroom family, the folks that own Up North News. We're a separate entity from Civic Media, but you can head over to couriernewsroom.com and check out all of the various state-based outlets, Up North News being the Wisconsin one, but there are all kinds of others, and a national team, and podcasts, and merchandise, and newsletters. And let me tell you about one of the newsletters. It's called Up on the Hill. You might recall Olivia Troy from the hearings of the January 6th Congressional Committee. She's a former national security official. She worked at the National Counterterrorism Center and other agencies before becoming the Homeland Security and Counterterrorism Advisor to Vice President Mike Pence. She's a bit of an expert in the field here and was very enlightening during the January 6th committee hearings. Well, now she writes a newsletter that you can find at the Courier Newsroom website. That's all about letting you know in advance what to expect from a second Trump term from a security perspective. Her latest edition talks about the insurrection coming full circle, with potential cabinet appointees wandering through the same U.S. Capitol that Trump tried to take by force 4 years ago. Up on the Hill is one of several great newsletters that you can find at couriernewsroom.com. And that takes us into the Capitol right now where, again, can't believe this is a thing, but once again, a bipartisan deal to get good things done is being sunk by Donald Trump. Now, this is a guy who everybody knows tanked a bipartisan bill for border security and immigration reform. And even though everybody knew that he tanked it so he could campaign on the issue, he campaigned on the issue and he won anyway. It's one of the great mysteries of 2024. Well, now he's going to try to work his magic again, which might mean a government shutdown as early as tomorrow night, because there was a bipartisan deal to avert a shutdown, to continue the farm bill, which would have provided aid to farmers who have been facing, you know, natural disasters in their parts of the country. But the bill is now on life support, because Trump, but more importantly, Trump's shadow, not so shadow, Vice President Elon Musk condemned it and said that they need to make some changes, even though Republican leadership already had an agreement with Democrats. And so once again, Democrats are saying, you need votes to pass something. You need some of our votes. Speaker Mike Johnson in, for the House Republicans has like 2 votes to spare. And there are more than 2 House Republicans who would rather blow up the budget and see a government shutdown than cooperate with Mike Johnson and or Democrats. So to avoid a shutdown, it's going to have to be a bipartisan matter. And yet Trump is once again saying blow up a bipartisan deal and we'll just continue to say angry things about it until we get our way. Well, that might work in an election. You can run all kinds of scary ads about immigrants and scare enough people into voting for you, but that's different than trying to pass a bill through Congress where you can say, well, Democrats, if things go to hell, it's your fault for not knuckling under to our demands. Or we can just continue to point out the phony demands that Trump is making and how he blew up something that was actually going to solve a problem. In this case, avoid a shutdown and provide long-needed disaster relief to folks around the country. So stay tuned throughout the day today. We may be talking about a shutdown yet before the week is over, just in time for Christmas. Joe Zepecki is next. You're up north.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
93.5 The Tap. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Friday is the deadline for a congressional resolution to be passed or the government shuts down. I'm Pam Yonke, starting you off before the opening bell on a Thursday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. And if the government shuts down, that Continuing Resolution Act is not passed, then production agriculture essentially loses a lot of essential funding that is contained in the current, soon-to-expire Farm Bill. Sam Kiefer is Vice President of Public Policy for the American Farm Bureau Federation. He says all commodity organizations, farm associations, are doing a full court press to make their case on why this is so critical.
Every elected official is important. The last 3 days, it's been a process of engaging with the leadership in each chamber. But at this point, votes are what are needed to get this across the finish line. Every elected official needs to understand how important this critical assistance is for farmers and ranchers. If Congress is unable to pass this legislation, first and foremost, the government will shut down because the current funding for the government is only through the end of this week. But the negotiated deal that we've cured a good bit of relief, it's certainly not what agriculture needs, but it's a good bit of relief for now.
Clock's ticking. That's Sam Kiefer, Vice President of Public Policy for the American Farm Bureau Federation. Markets and overnight electronic trade trying to regain some of the lost ground from Wednesday's session. Numbers are next.
Giving back, it's at the heart of the Wisconsin farmer, and it starts with supporting the backbones of our community. That's why the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board invests in soy foam for our firefighters. Soy foam TF1122 is the first and only firefighting foam green screen certified at the gold level. As a PFAS-free firefighting foam, it's safe for you and the environment. A safe future for your community. Thanks to your soy checkoff. Learn more at wisoybean.org.
The 2025 Dairy Strong Conference is returning to the KI Convention Center in Green Bay on January 15th and 16th. It brings together forward-thinking farmers and ag professionals to tackle the industry's most significant issues today. Leading dairy's path forward, attendees have the chance to hear from inspiring speakers and experts on policy, sustainability, and the future of dairy. Opportunities to sponsor or exhibit this event are still available. Visit dairystrong.org for more information.
Markets are anxious this morning over what's happening in Washington, D.C. and the end of the Federal Reserve meeting yesterday, creating a little anxiety. Our corn contracts are unchanged this morning. Soybeans are up 3. The wheat market, both nearby and new crop, down a nickel. Barrel and block cheese were unchanged yesterday. AA butter dropped a penny to $2.51. And January Class 3 milk going into cheese down 23 cents right now at $19.94 a hundredweight. There's just a quick snapshot on the markets this morning. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
We have a winter storm warning today for big snow. We could end up with 5 to 9 inches of accumulation by the time it winds down late tonight. And the wind is going to be an issue, too, gusting to 25 to 30 through the day and into the night. That'll create some blowing snow. High today, 25. Tomorrow, conditions improve. Sunshine, 23. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now at 19.
Earl Ingram.
Mr. Ben Wickler, he is running for the national DNC chair. The fundamental problem was the Democratic brand. Do you think that is the case more than the Harris campaign?
Core answer is yes. The Democratic brand, it's not what we necessarily do or say. It's what people have heard and internalized. And that, to me, is an argument for thinking about how and where we communicate, making sure we are present in places where people are thinking about stuff other than politics.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Just P.S., Dom's producer here. Next time, Dom's back in the house, catching up on a very full week and beginning to look ahead. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
We've arrived at 6:34 on this Thursday morning to the Josepecki part of the week, which is where we get to talk about the things that have been making news with strategist Josepecki. Oftentimes, things that happen in big, you know, marble domes in D.C. and Madison, but certainly news happens elsewhere and happened in a big way earlier this week in Madison. Joe, nice to have you here and just to hear your own thoughts on the school shooting and what has happened in the aftermath.
Hello. Thanks for having me, as always. I'm not a young man anymore. And when the Columbine shooting took place in 1998, I was a high schooler. And that was really the first time that our conscience had been shocked by the notion that you could just walk into a school building and slaughter kids and teachers. And so 1998 is 26 years ago. And for 26 years, we have seen this over and over and over. And I am so sick and damn tired of it. I am outraged at how numb we appear to have become to it. And I just want to offer a few perspectives for folks. One of the problems is how these always play out, where people who don't want to do anything about the damn guns find any other thing to point at, to demonize and other. And you are seeing that from some of the worst corners of the internet about the young person who made this terrible choice that has ruined the holidays for scores, tens, hundreds of families in our state. And saying vile, unspeakable things about this person when they don't know, because they have an agenda and they're trying to use our pain and our anguish to divide us. And that's the kind of crap that we need to stop. We also have, like clockwork, people come out and say, oh, it's the video games. Oh, it's these first person shooters. Oh, it's the mental health. Every country in the world has young people who play video games. We are the only nation on earth where this regularly happens, so regularly that a mere couple of 2-3 people dying in our state barely makes a dent, because we have seen shootings where tens of people die, where 20 some people die, where 30 people die, and still we do nothing. And I love this country so much, but there is perhaps no greater stain on this country in the last quarter century than the shameful, tragic inability to grapple with this problem and the hundreds, if not thousands, of young people who we have lost and teachers right there along with them as a result. And with that, I'll get off my high horse, but it's just shameful and tragic is the only thing that I can conjure up. And I am so sorry to the families that were failed this week. And I'm sorry to tell everybody that they won't be the last.
I hate to agree with that, but there will be more, because of where I'm going to lead with my first point from the newly elected, the new state Senate president, Mary Felskowski from up north, who was part of a legislative panel this week talking about previewing the next session. Certainly the Madison school shooting came up, and here's what we get. From the Wisconsin Examiner, Felskowski says, people need to look at what has changed in American society, adding that people took guns to school 30, 40 years ago. She says, we went hunting after school and nobody was afraid, so society has changed. We need to start looking at underlying causes. Is it social media? Is it cyberbullying? Is it too much screen time in our children? I hope we can come together and have tough conversations. But she also said, increased weapons screening would be where she might go first, so that people can't walk through the door with no screening. So Screening appears to be the one thing that legislative Republicans might look at. More officers, more metal detectors.
Honestly, fine. Do something. That is where I'm at. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, universal background checks should have been done 25 years ago, and it's still not done. And closing the gun show loophole should have been done a quarter century ago. And maybe we're on the way there, but it's not all the way there. And red flag laws. You have to do it all. Like, we have to stop letting our kids be slaughtered in school. So if the best we can get from Mary Felskowski is lock down every damn school in the state, fine. Let's do it. That's where I'm at on this. Because, as I just said, the kids we lost, the teacher we lost this week, the families that are broken and will never be the same, they won't be the last. It's only a matter of time until the next one. So if Felskowski wants to write the check to make sure every school in the state is locked down and nobody can get in with so much as a screwdriver, I'm ready to call her bluff. Yeah, that's where I'm at, because none of this should be that damn complicated.
You should call the bluff, because it's not going to happen. There will be no such bill offered up, because, again, compromise is weakness to this crowd. And changing anything, acknowledging that anything needs to change in their mind, is this toehold for more things like background checks, red flag laws, and all that. So they have to hang tough and continue to live in denial that the problem is guns, that in a country with 400 million guns already, maybe we can solve it if we get to 500 million guns.
Yep. We have more guns than people in this country. I'm ready to call the Chris Rock play. Okay, you don't want to do gun control? Let's do bullet control. That was funny 25, 30 years ago. It's not funny anymore, because it's the bullets fired from these weapons that are killing kids, and I am done with it.
Mm-hmm. Mary Felskowski in this forum by WisPolitics this week did not drop a lot of surprises, even though Republicans had their majorities thinned substantially in the Senate and the Assembly. She said, we're basically not going to change the way that we do anything. Let's just start with Medicaid expansion. She used the words, it's off the table. Yeah. That doesn't need to happen. And again, we've got this excuse from her that says, well, you know, the people that need coverage are already getting coverage in Wisconsin. So, Joe, I ask you, without expanding Medicaid, whatever it was that Scott Walker did after the Affordable Care Act passed, is that good enough?
It isn't good enough. If we accepted the Medicaid expansion available under the Affordable Care Act tomorrow, about somewhere between 75,000 and 90,000 more Wisconsinites would have access to care, and the state would save hundreds of millions of dollars. We have left over $1 billion on the table over the lifetime of this. And what I find so interesting is the degree to which Ms. Felskowski kind of gives away the game. They don't care what you think. It doesn't matter that the voters reelected a healthcare champion statewide in this state. It doesn't matter that the 15 seats net that Democrats picked up in the state Senate and the state legislature is probably, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, Pat, probably the biggest swing and change in the makeup of the legislature since 2010. That's a long time ago, right? Oh,
yeah.
And they literally don't care. All they care about are the people's opinions who write the checks for them. And so it's real easy to say at, you know, election time, oh, we're so concerned with how much people are paying, how much Wisconsinites are paying for gas and for groceries and for healthcare. And then when they get the chance to do it and address it through public policy, they're unwilling to actually make those choices. So I'm so sorry to the people of Wisconsin who felt like maybe Wisconsin Republicans were going to take a step or two to lower their healthcare costs. Don't hold your breath, because then you'll need to go to the doctor and it's more expensive than it needs to be, because Republicans are holding back actual reform to our healthcare system in this country.
So while Mary Felskowski is the Senate president, the actual leader, the majority leader for Senate Republicans, remains Devin Lemieux, who has said, here's the good news. He's not going to push for a flat tax in this session, that thing that was never going to pass because it's such an awful idea. But here's the bad news. He says he's again going to focus for tax cuts in the second highest tax bracket. Now, bracket to me is doing a lot of heavy lifting. The bracket they're talking about, here's the range in that bracket. $38,000 a year income. $38,000 a year income to $420,000 a year income. Yes, the highest tax bracket is for people who make more than $420,000 a year. But here's the thing. Devin Lemieux saying, why are we working on that big fat tax bracket that starts at $38,000? Because he thinks it gets everybody. He says, quote, if you're working full time, I don't know where you find a job that puts you below that second highest tax bracket, frankly. Really, here's the question for Senator Lemieux. How many people in Wisconsin work full time and earn less than $38,000 a year? Senator, it's a lot more people than you think. And you're telling every one of those folks, you don't care. You got to take care of the people making closer to $400,000 a year.
It is beyond absurd, that bracket. I like, what does someone who makes $38,000 a year and someone who makes $420,000 a year have in common? Spoiler alert, the answer is nothing. Nothing. From an economic standpoint, that might well be the difference between living on Earth and living on Venus. Like, that is so, that it's too big a, air quoting here, bracket. We have to go back to, it was 5 or 6, then they shaved them down and they just beat their chests as if they were the happiest boys in all the land, because they got rid of a whole tax bracket. But what they didn't tell you was they created an absurd one, just a joke of one. Because if you are paid $38,000 a year and you are paid $420,000 a year, the tax system in this state should not treat you the same, period.
Right, because one of them is more than 10 times the income of the other, but it is absolutely in keeping where Lemieux and legislative Republicans want to go. They want a flat tax. They want one bracket that's in there so that, you know, the richest person out there pays the same rate as the poorest person out there, and that's...
We'll make up the difference with, you know, sales taxes, stuff that is regressive instead of progressive. Right. They have no problem shifting the tax burden in this country further and further away from their wealthy donors and their wealthy friends, and more onto the backs of hardworking, you know, families in Wisconsin. That's where we are.
I'm going to close not with a question so much as a fun fact. Do with it what you will. No women will chair committees in the U.S. House of Representatives for the first time since 2005, 2006. It's just a whole lot of dudes representing the Republican Party. It's funny. It's like they're not even trying, once the election is over, to send any kind of a message like, we actually do care about what's bothering you. Nope. Bring on the dudes.
Who determines the committee chairs there? Is that does the president get a say? Does Trump get to say? Or is that Republicans in Congress get to decide?
Republicans, topped, of course, with Speaker Mike Johnson. Take from it what you will.
Just a fun fact about...
Just a case of what they said.
Differences of perspective,
What they do. Yeah. Joe Specky, in just a few seconds here, what are you looking forward to most for the holidays? Is it doing nothing? You got a big event, big dinner?
Turning it off. Turn it off. We're going to do a little travel. We're going to spend time with loved ones and family and celebrate all the things that we are very fortunate for. And we are very fortunate to live in this country and to be able to share our disagreements and despairs with the state of our politics and the state of our country and our culture. And we're not going anywhere. We're just gearing up for the fight ahead. So it'll be a good opportunity to recharge. Merry, Pat.
You as well. Have a great holiday break here, and we will talk first full week of January. We will have the new Congress and the new legislature setting up behind us once we talk again, and so we will be off to the races for 2025. Talk to you later. Thank you, Joe.
See ya.
We will not be hearing Joe live next week. You won't hear me live next Thursday. We'll be on a little holiday break there on the 26th and 27th. And then the following week on the Monday, Tuesday, the 30th and 31st, I'll be having some substitute hosts, Greg Bach and Dr. Kristen Lyerly, on that 30th and 31st. you'd better tune in. I'd better tune in. Today's history lesson is up next. You're up north.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In official meeting rooms around the country, 538 electors for the 2024 presidential election met December 17th to cast their vote on behalf of their state's results. 13 of those Electoral College electors are accused 2020 fake electors, some of whom still face prosecution. Trump campaign associates coordinated a plot in 7 battleground states to submit a fraudulent slate of Republican electors. The plot failed when Vice President Mike Pence refused to participate and certified the results. The alleged fake electors in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Nevada, New Mexico, Georgia, and Arizona were investigated by state officials, the January 6th committee, and the special counsel. Fake electors in Michigan, Georgia, and Arizona still face trial. Nevada prosecutors just refiled charges December 12th. No charges were brought in New Mexico, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. 13 of those electors were renominated by their state Republican parties as electors in 2024. 6 of the 15 awaiting trial for forgery in Michigan were renominated. 6 Nevada electors were reindicted last week on forgery charges, 2 of whom were renominated. Still unclear is whether Trump will include the fake electors in his promised pardons for those accused and convicted for the January 6th insurrection. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Today, we mark the anniversary of the birth of Maurice White. That, of course, would be Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Just a great band name, too.
I know. The late singer, songwriter, producer, arranger received more than 20 Grammy nominations. Earth, Wind, and Fire was the first all-black band to sell out Madison Square Garden. Maurice White is in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Passed away in 2016, but what a legacy he leaves behind for Earth, Wind, and Fire. Also in today's history lesson, it was on this day in 1957. Oh, it was a tragic day for Elvis Presley fans. He was served his draft notice and had to join the Army. He joined the 32nd Tank Battalion, 3rd Armor Corps, based in Germany. Have lots of birthdays today. Let's start with Walter Murphy, who you see him on credits all the time on TV, Family Guy most notably.
Mm-hmm.
But he does music for so many TV shows and movies. He's really only had one hit on the chart, and it was very early on in his career with a little bit of a take on symphonies in the disco era.
I love this song. Ooh, classical
even
music.
As a disco tune.
Ooh.
Yes. It's got legs all these years later.
Yeah. If you ever want to see something amazing, just YouTube Sean Hayes hosting SNL, and he does like a take on this because he's a very accomplished piano player, and he plays this song.
That's right.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, that's funny. Walter Murphy is 72 years old today. Tim Reed, who played Venus Flytrap on WKRP in Cincinnati, I know he was on other shows too, Simon and Simon and several others, but he's still Venus. He's 80 years old today. Basketball legend Kevin McHale, the Minnesota Gopher turned Boston Celtic, is 67 today. And a melancholy one today, this would have been Reggie White's 63rd birthday, born 63 years ago today. The Packer legend passed away far too soon in 2004 at the age of 43. On this day 60 years ago today, 1964, the Supremes scored their third number one hit of the year with this one. Got more birthdays here. Jennifer Beals, the actress, is 61, still perhaps best remembered for Flashdance. Alyssa Milano is 52 years old today. Jake Gyllenhaal is 44 today. On this day in 1970, Elton John had his first U.S. hit when his first ever single entered the Billboard Hot 100 on this day. It would eventually top out at number 8.
If I was a sculptor, but then again, no.
There, right there. That's my nominee for... Elton John's a legend, but that's the worst song lyric ever. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no.
Hey, he didn't write that.
So, I'll never understand that one. I just never will. President Bill Clinton's impeachment began this day in 1998. Anybody that watched David Letterman over the years knows that he had a Christmas tradition on his show, first on NBC, then on CBS, when Darlene Love would come in and sing her 1960s holiday classic, Baby Please Come Home for Christmas. She sang it for the last time on Letterman's CBS show on this day in 2014, but I thought I'd go way back in the archives. This was actually her first appearance on Late Night with David Letterman on NBC in 1986. And you can see where David was smitten right there and said, yeah, why don't we do this every year? And it was always a big hit. On this day in 1997, do you remember when the big blockbuster movie opened? It had been talked about for years. It was over budget. It was going to be a disaster of Titanic proportions until it wasn't. It was a box office blockbuster, including the soundtrack. And, of course, Celine Dion will be remembered forever for her role in Titanic. And it's Big Finish. How many of you are throwing your arms out right now? You know, just imitate your singing just like Celine. I see you.
My mother loves Celine Dion.
You know, they talk about the celebrity lookalike contests, I guess, are really a thing right now with, Timothy Chalamet?
Chalamet.
And some other folks. But I recall when... Titanic opened up in 97, so it was the summer of 98 that, because he mentions Lake Wasoda in the movie, that year for the Pure Water Days Festival, I think, they had a Leonardo DiCaprio lookalike contest.
Does he? And it Lake Wasoda?
Yeah, he mentions Lake Wasoda in the movie.
Oh, I thought it was Chippewa Falls.
No, you've never heard the anomaly about this?
Well, he mentions a lake that doesn't exist.
Yes, correct. He mentions working on the ice or the icy waters of Lake Wasoda, building the dam. But the Titanic sank in 1912, and Lake Wasoda was created in 1917. So a little 5-year thing. Nobody cares. We don't begrudge them. We get to be in a big old movie. We're happy with that. We're getting near the end of the calendar here. For the National Day Calendar. There's some days where there's so many of them lumped into one day. And then you get near the end here, close to Christmas, close to the end of the year. It's like nobody wants one of these days. Well, guess what, kids? Today is National Oatmeal Muffin Day. And today is National Hard Candy Day. So here you ask Grandma and Grandpa for a piece of hard candy, especially for this day. Coming up in our second hour of Up North News Radio, we are going to talk to the new head of a group that trains progressive candidates for the elections of the future. And Up North News reporter Elizabeth Montemurro will talk about what could happen with health care under Trump and a Republican state legislature. This is Up North News Radio.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, we'll go in the pharmacy to talk health and wellness with Dr. Omar. Then we'll be joined by Sean Betterplace from the Main Street Alliance to talk about Badger Care expansion.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
Oh, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho, ho, ho!
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with new developments in Monday's deadly school shooting in Madison, Wisconsin. CBS's Stacey Lynn has our top story.
We've now learned the names of the two people killed in the attack. 14-year-old Ruby Vergara was a ninth grader at the Abundant Life Christian School, and Aaron West was a substitute coordinator. She was 42 years old. And according to an Associated Press report, the 15-year-old suspect, Natalie Rupnow, who went by the name of Samantha, had been in contact with a 20-year-old man in Carlsbad, California. Court documents show he allegedly had a plan to carry out a mass shooting at a government building.
Rupnow died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. There's a court hearing in Hollidaysburg, Pennsylvania today for 26-year-old Luigi Mangione, who's facing murder charges in the death of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson. CBS's Anna Schechter.
One of the lawyers on his team said he is waiving extradition.